It's good to have you all with us today. And as we see there in that video, as we get into our text here this morning, 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, which we'll look at here in a little bit, is trying to see people, see those in the world, maybe even those in the that sit near us or next to us in the church services, whatever it may be, do we see them all as God sees them? Do we see them as we desire to see them and how we want to change? We'll just say this. I many times when you ever look at paintings and it involves people, some artists will get very specific and detailed on people's faces on some of the paintings you look at. Other paintings, they'll just almost be just a blur. And so when we see or we think about people, do we put an actual face with that? Or do we just see people as a blur? We'll notice in our text here that I'm using, normally I preach from the New American Standard, but I'll be preaching from the NET for at least the main portion of our text and at least one other verse that I remember. Because it changes the word brother or brethren to that of Christian. Means the same thing, but I think we think of those things differently when we see those. For example, when we see the Apostle Paul, he may be talking about his brethren, and what he's referring to are those of the same nationality of him, not necessarily those that are Christians. And so what I want for us to understand is that when we look at this passage of Scripture, how do we treat other Christians? And when we look at that, then how do we treat other people? And I don't want us to see blurred faces. I want for us to pick out specific people, specific faces, features, those that help us to understand, as I will refer to them later, not just the lost, but to make it a greater burden on our heart, lost souls. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 says this: If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his fellow Christian, this is that idiom that we see again. Remember when Jesus is talking about how you must hate your mother and father and you must, you know, follow me. It's not hate as in what we think hate. It means that you love them less than God, okay? It's still loving them, but loving them less than you do God. So if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his fellow Christian, he is a liar, because the one who does not love his fellow Christian whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And the commandment we have from him is this, that the one who loves God should love his fellow Christian too. It's one of those things that should kind of go without saying, that we would love our fellow Christians as we do the Lord. Now, obviously, he died for us, but we're to be there to inspire and encourage one another along the way. But so as we think of this, and it may be at times we have a difficult time describing those around us. So we may have a difficult time understanding those around us. We may struggle from time to time. It reminds me of a story that probably some of you have heard of two brothers that were wicked. They were perverted. They were drunkards, they were adulterers, they were thieves, they were brawlers, they were blasphemers. I mean, you name it, they did it. And everyone in the town knew it. And one day, one of the brothers passed away. And the other brother knew what kind of a life that he lived and knew what kind of a life that his brother lived. Said, well, the funeral's not going to be very good if there's nothing good to say about him. And so he goes and talks to the preacher in town and tells the preacher, I got a special task for you. I'd like for you to do my brother's funeral, but I need for you to refer to him as being a saint. And he's, well, this kind of seems like a bizarre request, but knowing their past, he's like, I don't know. If he goes, I'll give you $1,000. Preacher says, I'll make it happen. So they're at the funeral. He gets ready to preach the funeral, goes up front, standing in front of the casket. And he looks at this man in the casket and he says, he's a pervert, he's a drunkard, he's an adulterer, he's a thief, he's a brawler, he's a blasphemer, and everything else that you can imagine. But compared to his brother, he's a saint. Now, isn't that what we'd like to do too many times? Is to compare ourselves among ourselves? That's a problem. Jesus says not to compare ourselves by ourselves, for it'll only lead us astray. Because there's none of us here that are righteous and holy, no, not one. And so we need to set Christ as our standard. And so when we look to that of loving one another and loving God and applying that to our life, we'd like to say, oh, that person really, you know, they're just so thoughtful and they're so kind. Yes, they are. No doubt about that. However, they don't really love like God does. None of us do. But that's what we're supposed to aim for. We're supposed to shoot for. And so as we look at these things here this morning, we've got a couple or three questions that I want to ask and you need to answer. I've answered these questions this past week in my study as I was going through this. And so we all need to and maybe continue to answer them and find out where we're lacking. The first one is, do you love God? Do you love God? Again, this is something that you have to ask yourself. When I first started typing this out, I was like, do we love God? Now, that might seem like the same question, but it's a different question. Do we love God? Or do you love God? It's a different question. I can say, do we love God? Amen, everyone, yes. But do you love God? And then what we've got to do is it starts getting real personal with us. Remember back several years ago when mission statement started becoming a great thing for churches and one of them that has always stuck in my mind was a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will make a great church. And I always thought that's good, that's biblical, that's that everything. So, but do we remember what those two things are? What the great commandment is, and what the great commission is? And so let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And so as we look at this and you know, as we think of the whole law and the whole prophets, we think of the law. We see this even on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we see Moses there with Elijah, at least. And so when we think of the law, we think of Moses. When we think of the prophets, we're to think of Elijah. And as we see these things, and so he tells the people here that this is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And I believe it's the Luke passage that even adds in all your strength. And he says, this is the great and foremost commandment. This is the great commandment, to love God. And then Jesus even says, and the second's just like it. Love God, love people. And it seems like an easy thing to do. But I think, truth be known, if I struggle with it, there's no doubt some of you probably do a better job of it than I do, but you probably struggle at some aspects of that. That you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That's because in the Ten Commandments itself, those first four depend on your are basically the representation of your relationship and how it depends on you with God. Then the last six are you and your relationship with your neighbor. And so, do you love God? Do we put Him first? Do you love Him with all your heart? As we've said before, there's a difference to say you know about Jesus and to say you know Jesus. There's a difference. And so, do you love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Is He always the first and foremost in our thinking? Is that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we go about, it's always God's going to win out on our decision making? Now I ask you, do you love God? So that's the first part. That's the great commandment. And then there's the great commission. And we see this on the next slide, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when we look at this, if we get the great commandment down and we love everybody, then who are we going to share the great commission with? It ought to be real simple. Everybody. Because it goes back, and we're gonna look at this again in our text as we move on. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that, John 3:16, right? And so as we look at that, so Jesus died. And this is where sometimes we'll say, Jesus died for everyone. And so when we look at that picture, we just see blurry faces. But the next time you pull up to that stoplight and you see that guy holding that sign that says, you know, need help or will work for food or, you know, just down and out and has lost that. Take a look at their face. Because see, we just want to see images. We just want to see blurs because we don't have to take that personal. I know in my life, and I'm sure in the life of our the elders we've got here as well, that as they pray for you throughout the week, we don't see blurs. We see faces. You're not just the people. You're not just the congregation. Each and every one of you has a soul that means something to me, to them. And so when we see that and we see you, that we need to, what I want us to take this is stop with the generics and let's get specific. Oh, we pray for all the lost. Come on. None of us, when we say that, we don't know somebody specifically that's on our mind when we say that. Say their name. Doesn't hurt. Get specific on that. And so as we say that, so do we love God? And the way we look at the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, I think, dictates how much we do love God. It's a good indicator. It's a good measuring stick. Because if we don't love God, then it's going to be real hard for us to love people. Because if we don't look through at people and other people don't look at us through the eyes of God, we can become pretty cynical real quick. Because we're going to let each other down. But the great Savior and the great physician never did and never will. So I'm going to put just a little twist on that. And we'll say that I believe a great commitment to the great commandment and to the great commission will help make you a great Christian. Because, yes, the Christians make up the church, but it's the individual that makes up that body of Christ. Yes, I'm the church by myself. Yes, I understand that. But I, as a Christian, need to be committed to those two things. And if we're not committed to those things, I think that starts to answer, do you love God? Number two. Tommy Johnson, heard him say this in a prayer several years ago. But it says, help us to love like Jesus loves. So, do you love like Jesus? Well, of course we do. Because Jesus loves the little children. Right? Unless you're W.C. Fields, and then you're like, get away from me, kid, and you bother me. Right? Do you love like Jesus? And so when we think of this, what do they say is the greatest form of flattery? Someone said it? Imitation, right? Imitation. I always think of that when I see like imitation vanilla. It's the greatest form of flattery. It's trying to be like vanilla. But do we understand then? And so, and this is what we become too many times as we look at somebody and we set them as an example for us. But here's where we falter with that. And we may look, you know, hey, this person, they're a great individual. But don't look to them. Look to Jesus, right? Because if you say, well, you know, boy, I wish I could love like they do. I wish I could, you know, think like they think. I wish I could, you know, be firm like they're firm. But the problem is, as good as they look to us, they still fail. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul says to imitate me as I imitate Christ. So in other words, skip Paul, imitate Christ is what he's saying. So do you love like Jesus does? And it's hard for us to answer in the affirmative, in the positive, by saying yes when we drive by that guy that's standing out at the stoplight and all we get is a blurred face. Because I doubt that we go home and say, you know, our Father in heaven, please be with the blurred face guy. But I guarantee you, if we'd stop and talk and find out their name, that things would change, because now they've went from just being people to being a lost soul. That's what Jesus would do. So do we love like Jesus? And so when we look at how Jesus loved people, there's two different categories. And so I ask you, which one do you fall into? Do you fall into the Jesus that loves because this man had a 12-year-old daughter die? And you feel sorry for him. This man has been blind from birth for 38 years. Do you feel sorry for him? Because Jesus did. Jesus extended his love to him. Do you feel bad for this guy that's been lame due to maybe an accident of some sort, unfortunate life circumstances? See, there's that Jesus, and we understand that because the people that I just mentioned are in those situations because of what I'm just going to call bad luck. Right? Your child dies. You've been born blind. An accident caused you to be lame. We can love people when it's like that. Jesus loved people when it was like that. Now there's the Jesus that loved the prostitute. That loved the thief. That loved the extortioner. That loved the adulterer. Now, we look at that and we say, well, they're in that position because of their own choice. And raise your hand here if you've never made a bad choice. Remember, Jesus used this phrase, he who's without sin cast the first stone. All right, you rock chuckers. Go ahead. And so as we look at that, so we see there's people that have bad circumstances and there's people that have bad choices. But you know what? Jesus loves them both equally the same. They don't have blurred faces. He sees the mole on their cheek. He knows who they are. And so as we look at that, it's a reminder to us that, boy, we try to be like Jesus, but do we really love like Jesus? But John reminds us, just one verse prior to our text, why we need to love like Jesus. And that's because, as we are told even in Paul's letter to the Romans, that while we were in our sin, he still died for us. While we were living our life as ungodly people, he still died for us. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. There's not a one of us in here that was the first one to say to Jesus, I love Jesus. Oh, I beat you, Jesus. You didn't get to say it. You didn't say it to me first. Because he loved each and every one of us and showed it. He expressed it on that hill called Calvary. And he did not just see blurred faces. He saw lost souls. So now I ask you again, do you love like Jesus? Boy, I thought these were pretty easy questions when I started my lesson. Do we love God? Do we love like Jesus? I'm not trying to share these things to tear us down, but I'm trying to share these things to wake us up. Third question. So how do we know what love is? Right? We know where this is going. Right? I might not be a smart man, but I know what love is. Forrest Gump. So how do we know what love is? Go and ask the world if you love somebody, if they love somebody. And you're going to get all sorts of definitions for what love is. But remember I quoted earlier John 3:16, for God so loved the world? Well, this is 1 John 3:16 that I think answers that question for us. We have come to know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians. In other words, he set the example for us. He set the ideal. He laid down his life for us. There was a woman nervously waiting at home. Several hours have gone by, no word from her husband. This is before the time of cell phones and things of that nature. And so she calls her neighbor friend up, and they decide to go down to the police station, and they're going to report her husband is missing. So she goes into the police station, and she goes to the police officer, and he's like, can you give me a description? Yes, I can. She says he's about 6'2". Tall, dark, she said, I'd say handsome, very athletic build, 185 pounds, super nice to the kids. He's generous with the neighbors. And she lists off all these things. He's so kind and loving. And about that time, the neighbor woman elbows the woman that's given. She's like, what in the world are you doing? She said, you know that your husband's only 5'3", short and fat and bald, smokes cigars all the time, as stingy as all gets out, he's mean to you and the kids, he hates his neighbors. And she said, yeah, but who wants to find a guy like that? And I can't help but think that sometimes as the Lord looks down at the church and is looking for his bride, does he look down and say, do I want a bride like that? We're the bride, by the way. Okay, in case you forgot, didn't notice. We're the bride, the church, the bride of Christ. We like to give our description as these things. But you know, the fact of the matter is, we've been going through Revelation. You know, go through those first two, or chapters 2 and 3 again. When we start having troubles in our life, then you go through there and you tell me which church you are. Be careful in case your lampstand gets removed. So how do we know what love is? Christ has set the example for us. We need to share that with a world that needs it so desperately by living out the great commandment and the great commission. Do we love like Jesus? Or do we just see blurry faces? And how do we know what love is? There's a difference between how we describe ourselves and how we think we look and what we actually look like. Be the church that Jesus is longing to come back for, the bride that he is longing to be with. It is your choice. It's my choice to be what the Lord wants for us to be. So, do we love one another? Do we love like Jesus loves? We say we love God, do we? This is just a reminder to us that, boy, of all the things in this earth that grabs our attention, takes our time away, distracts us, there's nothing more important than our Father which art in heaven and His Son that died for us. He left His Spirit for us so that we could be the church, the bride that He's longing to come after. Don't take this as a downtrodden message. Take this as a shot in the arm for let's do better. Church, let's make the decision to be pleasing to our Lord. Let's love like Jesus loves. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that today would be your day of salvation, that you would answer that call, that you would believe in Jesus, that you would repent of your sins, that you would confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that you would be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and that you would receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, and in by doing so, you would live faithfully. Live faithfully for Him. Make that a concerted effort. It's not going to happen on accident. You got to do your best. Turn it over to Jesus. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?